Let's go ahead and start out with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you've given us everything we need for life. Thank you for a great day today. We thank you for the roof over our heads, the clothes that we have, for the food and everything else that you've given to us, Father. We know that some of our brothers and sisters, as we just recently heard, have been missing some of those things, Father. And Father, we pray that you would take care of them. Father, be with us tonight as we study your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to grow from it. Help us to become what you want us to be. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as you heard, our topic tonight, lean not on your own understanding. That comes out of Proverbs 3:5. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures tonight. And so get your Bible page-turning fingers ready. Okay. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." So I think about, you know, who is this that I've got in the room today that I'm talking to? This is the singles, right? And I'm in the right room. You know, singles, sort of by nature, you're used to going it alone in a lot of things, aren't you? You know, you figure out your own stuff. You know, you take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. Because if you don't, there's nobody else there doing it, right? If you got roommates, maybe your roommate does some of it and you do some of it. But you know, basically, if you're a single, you're sort of used to going it alone. But there's some real pitfalls to that. You know, one of the things that we tend to think, you know, I can figure this out. I've done this before. I've done it a lot of times. I know the best way to figure this out. But you know, we're leaning on our own understanding. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about that, and we're going to look at several examples of the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of examples of people who didn't, you know, who didn't seek advice.
Quick question: verse 5, what did you stop in?
5 through 8, Proverbs 3:5-8. But the Old Testament is just full of examples of people who didn't seek advice or didn't follow the good advice they got. We're going to be looking at some of that. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, "For the lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure." And I was just going to pick up a few other proverbs here. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." Yeah, we all have our own ideas and we think we've got it figured out. But he says a wise man listens to advice. And if I can get my thing to cooperate, I'll give you a couple more. Okay. Proverbs 16:25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." Okay. There's a bad outcome at the end, even though it seems like it's right at the time. And then Proverbs 18:17 says, "The first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him." So the idea of, you know, you need to get some different points of view on something and then decide. You need to listen to advice and many advisors. With many advisors, Proverbs 11:14, with many advisors, victory is sure. So where do we need guidance? Where do we need to go looking for advice? You know, there's probably 1,000 different areas you could seek advice. Obviously, a big one is your relationship with God, right? We tend to have a higher opinion of ourselves. You know, we always think we're right, right? I always think my opinion's right. If I didn't think it was right, it wouldn't be my opinion, right? Okay, so I always think I'm right. But am I always right? Probably not. You know, so it's at least healthy to recognize, you know, that, you know, I'm probably wrong about something. And, you know, I don't think this is it, but I'm wrong about something, and I don't think any of them are it when you talk about them individually. So we need just a little bit of humility and a little bit of willingness to go to somebody. But particularly in an area like your relationship with God, just understanding the Scriptures. Anything in the Scriptures that you've ever read that was a little bit confusing? Okay, you didn't really understand it. Did you go ask somebody about it? You know, understanding the Scriptures is something that we need some guidance, we need some advice, we need to be sort of like the Ethiopian eunuch says, "How can I understand this unless somebody helps me?" All right? Sometimes that's where we're at. Personal righteousness. You know, I don't see my own blind spots, right? We all have a blind spot, or more than one usually. Something that we don't even think about, we don't even notice, you know, that everybody else around us knows. You know, if we just ask them, if we listen to them, and it'd be something that we could grow in our personal righteousness if we would do that. You know, how about God's will for your life? You ever thought about that? You know, can I figure out all by myself what God wants me to do? You know, imagine the guy who thinks he is God's gift as a song leader or God's gift as a singer. Everybody around him knows better, you know, but he doesn't, you know. And, you know, he thinks his role in life is to go do that, but maybe it's not, is it? You know, so, you know, we need to be willing to listen. You know, we're not objective about ourselves. And you know, I think we know that in general. So basically, looking for God's will for my life. You know, does God want me to be a? Does he want me to go into the ministry? Does he want me to go on a mission field? Does he want me to get a job here or there? Does he want me to buy this new car or keep driving my old car? Does he want me to take this job or that job? Or does he want me to date this person or marry this person? Or does he want me? You know, what does he want me to do? Especially the big decisions in my life. You know. Hopefully you wouldn't go making a major life decision without getting many advisors. Okay, you don't make those big decisions in a hurry. What happens is when you make them in a hurry, you very quickly start realizing that you made a mistake. And you know, even if it's the right decision, making it in a hurry and getting there in a hurry usually is a mistake. Okay, finances. You know, you feel like you got your finances all figured out. You know, you're pretty much on top of managing it, doing it the way it ought to be done, and you're doing the best you can with what God's given you? Or do you think maybe there might be somebody that could help you with that? You know, so, you know, another area where you need some guidance. I talk about, you know, roommate issues. You know, anybody ever had roommate issues? You know, the roommate who doesn't pay his bills. You know, maybe that was you. Maybe that was me. You know, the roommate that doesn't, you know, meet his responsibilities. He's not there when he says he's going to be there. He doesn't replace the groceries when they run out, you know, doesn't clean up behind himself in the kitchen. You know, what are the roommate issues, and how do you get, you know, do you feel like, well, okay, I'm just going to fight this out on my own, or do I need to get some advice, get some input, get some help? Okay, you may need some guidance in that. And we've got single parents in the house, right? Okay, and single parents, you know, obviously parenting is one of the most challenging things a person can do, all the more so when you're single. Right, because you got you talk about having to do it all yourself. You know, you've got your mom, dad, your housekeeper, your, you know, everything. You know, you can tell me what all those things are, but you might need some help, and it might be some of the help you need might be advice. Okay, what do I say yes to? What do I say no to? How do I narrow down the number of things I'm trying to do so I can get it done? And part of it might be, let me get some help with some of that. Somebody that's aware of what's going on in my life, and maybe they can help me. So those are some of the kinds of things we're talking about here. But a lot of times our pride gets in the way, doesn't it? We think, okay, I can do this. I'm on top of this. I don't need no stinking help, right? Okay. And, you know, Proverbs 28:26. We're going to look at some scriptures here. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in himself might be making a mistake." He says it a little stronger than that, doesn't he? "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." Okay, you know, don't be foolish. Don't be one of these people. You know, you just go do the thing that everybody around you is looking at and says, "No, don't do that." You know, it's kind of like the, horror movie where the woman's at home alone. She starts going down the stairs, and everybody in the auditorium is saying, "No, don't do that." You know, there's something bad going to happen down there. Everybody else can see it, but she's just going down there. Yeah, and that's kind of how we live our lives sometimes. Okay, so we're the only ones who don't see how foolish the thing we're doing is. Hey, Jeremiah 17:9. Anybody know what that one says? Kind of a famous one we've looked at a number of times. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" The heart is deceitful. Your heart will fool you, and it's not always your best friend. Okay, it can get you into a lot of trouble. You know, Satan's lie is, "Oh, you can handle it." You know, that comes up in a lot of areas. You know, it comes up in, you know, should I go to this slightly sleazy movie. Oh, you can handle it. Well, trust me, no, you can't. You can't. Okay? We need to set higher standards. We've been polluted by the environment around us. We've let it invade our lives. You know, you take a sponge, you stick it down in creek water, it's going to soak up creek water, right? It's not going to be clean. Okay? You take your life and you soak it in a culture that's full of sin, it's not going to, you know, you're not going to remain unaffected. And so we need to be careful about that. You say, I can handle it, but you really can't. You know, that's how Satan gets us. He says, okay, just take a little bit of it. And you take a little bit of it. And then he says, just take a little more, and you take a little more. Before you know it, you're saturated with the stuff. So, you know, it says, fear the Lord and shun evil. We read that. It says, he who trusts himself is a fool. So, you know, bottom line is, just be aware. I'm not objective. If I just try to go it on my own, I'm going to end up messing up, and it could be really big. Okay. So instead, what do I need to do? Okay, Proverbs 15, verse 12 says, a mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. Okay. So what's the implication there? You know, who do you need to be consulting? Somebody who can help you, right? Somebody who's got some experience in the area, somebody who their life is the way you'd like yours to turn out, somebody who has overcome the thing you're dealing with, somebody who has some wisdom in the area, okay? And it may not always be the same person. You know, you may find, you know, here's a person who can really help me with child raising, and here's a person who can really help me with my finances, maybe two different people. That's okay, all right? You need to find the person that can help you with the problem you're trying to solve. You know, you don't just find other people like yourself, which is what often we do, isn't it? Find somebody who's got the same problem, that's never really overcome it, and we commiserate. We sit there and feel sorry for each other and kind of pat each other on the back and say, it's okay, this is the way it is. That doesn't help you, does it? You need somebody who can, number one, give you some wise advice about how to get out of it, but also who's got some conviction about you need to get out of it, and it's going to call you to get out of it. That's why we a lot of times, you know, shy away from that. Look in John 3. This is right after perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible. We'll start in verse 19, John 3:19. Jesus talking. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light. Because what? Their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and he will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that what he has been done through God. So, here's Jesus talking about why people don't come to the light, why you don't go to a wise person for advice. I don't want that spotlight shining on me. They're going to see the problems in me, and I don't want them seen. And so therefore we just kind of keep our you know, we kind of protect our problems. Don't let them get solved. Don't let them get out. And so therefore they just sit there and fester and grow. We keep them all nice and close and tight. Don't get any help. Not a wise thing. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 here. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Okay, so it's the same thing. They could be gathering around teachers that are going to tell them hard stuff that they really need to deal with, but instead they gather around people that say what they want to hear. Isn't that the tendency we have? Okay, he's talking about human beings. We're all human beings in here, right? You know, he's talking. This is natural human nature. We're all like this. He's not just talking about some people are like this. We all have the tendency. Some of us fight the tendency, and some of us give into it, and it makes all the difference. Okay, so where do you go for wisdom? Let's look in Luke chapter 6. Like I said, we're going to look at lots of scriptures here, and in fact, we're going to probably not get to all of them. Luke 6:43 says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart his mouth speaks. So, you know, you're looking for that wisdom, you're looking for that advice, somebody to help you. You're not going to get figs from a thorn bush. Think about where this person's life's turning out. You know, say, is this the example I want? Is this the kind of advice I want to follow? Okay, that we ought to be considering that. You know, we ought to be, you know, again, if you want to consult the wise, then you need to be looking at the fruit and seeing is this person one of those. And then Luke 6:39, just a few verses over, says he also told them this parable: can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Yeah. Oh, that was Luke 6:39-40. So, you know, did you know that there's this much said in the scriptures about it? Yeah. This is a prevalent topic. You know, go find somebody wise who's going to help you. Go find somebody who's going to show you what's wrong. Somebody who's going to recognize your need and be able to help you with it. So, you know, people go to a lot of different places to get help or get advice. They go to Oprah. You know, Oprah will give you advice, right? You know, she doesn't necessarily believe in Christianity, or at least not that Jesus is the only way to God. You know, got some pretty fundamental problems with where she's coming from. You know, she might give you some advice that might work or might not, but she's not who we're talking about here, right? We're talking about somebody who can help you from the scriptures to do what God said we need to do. Okay, people go to Dr. Laura, Dr. Phil, Judge Judy. You know, Dear Prudence. Anybody heard of Dear Prudence? you know, if they you put a title in front of the name, it makes it sound like it's going to be good advice. But, you know, that's not necessarily so. And Oprah doesn't have a title, but, you know, Oprah's Oprah. But you know, think about who you go to for advice and think about, you know, what kind of advice you're going to get there. You know, you go to the Internet, you type in your problem on the Internet, you'll find a million pages where somebody solved it for you, except that a lot of those won't have anything to do with what God says about the problem, right? Okay. You know, on subjects like spanking, should you spank your children? You'll find all kinds of stuff out there on that. Things like finances. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, people will be trying to loan you money. You let it get out that you're looking for information on finances. People saying, "Oh, we can help you deal with your debt. You can settle it for a fraction of what you owe." You know, don't believe it. You know, the people on TV say, "You know, are you way behind on your IRS taxes? Call us. We will get the IRS to settle for a fraction." Yeah, you know, don't bank on it. You know, those guys make a nice living off of poor people. That's what happens. People in financial trouble. You know, so don't be one of them. So, you know, a lot of places you can go for advice, and a lot of them are bad. So, let's look at some examples of some people who didn't take the good advice and some people that went to the wrong place for advice and just kind of see what happens to them. 1 Kings chapter 12. This is right after King Solomon died. Now, what do you know about Solomon? Anybody know something about Solomon? Wisest man who ever lived, right? We're going to be looking at what happened to his son after he died. This was immediately after Solomon had died, and Rehoboam, 1 Kings 12:1, Rehoboam became king. Okay, or he was becoming king. 1 Kings 12:1, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of this, he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, he returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, let me interject here. You know who Israel is, right? Israel, there was 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, but what's getting ready to happen here is there's going to be 11 tribes of Israel and Judah. That basically everybody except for Judah is going to basically abandon, you know, they're going to go off and divide the kingdom. It's going to split. And what you're going to find if you read through the books of Kings, everybody's read it, right? I hope everybody's, have y'all read it? You know, what you're going to find is you got Israel, you got kings of Israel and kings of Judah. And you read through Kings and Chronicles and it keeps talking about, well, this was the king of Israel when this was the king of Judah, and they go back and forth. All of the kings of Israel were awful. Some of them were just more awful than others. There was occasionally a decent king of Judah, but usually they were pretty bad too. But we're starting here. This is the very beginning. The very first king of Judah, Rehoboam, who is supposed to inherit the kingdom of the whole 12 tribes. So that's who we're talking about. So we're in, we just read to verse 3. So verse 4, this is what Jeroboam said to Rehoboam. He said, your father, referring to Solomon, right? Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. I want to think about this. Okay. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father, Solomon, during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people, he asked. So he's going to the elders who had advised his father. And who was his father? The wisest man who ever lived. These are the people that advised the wisest man who ever lived. I think I'd be listening to them. You know, they probably have something to say that might be helpful. All right? So he says, verse 7 says, they replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. So their advice was, you know, be accommodating, be merciful, be gracious to them, okay? Be their servant. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders, the elders gave him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. Interesting. He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him replied, tell these people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, and the king said, come back to me in 3 days. The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, and he gave them the advice, the answer that the young men had given him to give. So, and as a result, what happens is Jeroboam said, you know, basically all the other kings said, well, forget you. We're not going to follow you. And they go off to their homes and they basically become a separate nation. So it says in verse 19, at the end it says, so Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Of course, talking about the day that this was being written. Okay. So Israel in rebellion against the house of David, where King David had ruled over all of Israel, basically divided the kingdom of God, divided the people of God, split God's people, because Rehoboam listened to the young men and not the wiser old men. Okay, all right. So there's an example. You know, the young men gave a sort of, you know, what kind of advice do you expect to get out of young men? You know, there's a few young men in the room, and I'm not necessarily dissing you here. Don't take this too bad. But, you know, here you go. They gave the tough macho answer, didn't they? You know, the reckless answer. You know, the one that appeared to be powerful on the surface. But what it did was he lost 11/12 of Israel. You know, it was not good advice. Okay? The elders gave a more favorable answer. Theirs was a gentler answer, wasn't it? Maybe more seasoned, more experience behind it. Here's, you know, how to work with people as opposed to how to be arrogant and, you know, mean. So, you know, he reaped the consequences of his bad choice. All right, 1 Kings chapter 22. Here we're going to talk about another example. This is later on. We're going to be talking about one of the kings of Israel later on, Ahab. And the king of Judah was Jehoshaphat. 1 Kings 22, verse 2. But in the third year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his officials, don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram? So he asked Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight against Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first, seek counsel of the Lord. So you see what's happening here, right? So you've got Jehoshaphat and you've got Ahab. Ahab wants to go up and fight against Ramoth-Gilead and take back something he thinks belongs to him. And Jehoshaphat says, I'll do that. I'll help you with that. But before we do that, let's consult the Lord. See if this is what he wants us to do. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, shall I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? Go, they answered him, for the Lord will give it to the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? So who did he inquire of? A bunch of people who said, you know, called themselves prophets, but they were not prophets of the Lord. Okay. And their answer was, yeah, you know, they said what he wanted to hear, didn't they? Okay. But so Jehoshaphat didn't buy that, did he? He said, we need to ask advice from somebody wise, somebody who's listening to God. Okay. And so the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, verse 8. There is still one man through whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah. The king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied. So an amazing thing for a king to say, right? There is another guy, and yeah, he can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he always prophesies bad stuff about me. I don't want to listen to him. Send me somebody who's going to give me good news, not bad news. You know, it's kind of the shoot the messenger kind of thing. You know, if you bring me bad news, you're dead. You know. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once. Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance to the gate of Samaria with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenana, made iron horns and declared, this is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed. And all the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The messenger who had gone out to summon Micaiah said to him, look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably. But Micaiah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. When he arrived, the king asked him, Micaiah, shall we go to war with Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain? Attack and be victorious, he answered, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesied anything good about me, but only bad? Micaiah continued, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the hosts of heaven standing around on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. By what means? The Lord asked. I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenanah, went up and slapped Micaiah in his face. Which way did the Spirit of the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you? He asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go to hide in an inner room. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says, put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, all you people. So, pretty tense situation, right? You know, the king didn't want to listen to Micaiah. He didn't want to talk to him at first because he knew Micaiah was going to give him bad news. But you know, Jehoshaphat basically insists on it, and he does. And then as a result, they, you know... he's basically received a prophecy that he's going to die today. Okay, which is a pretty, you know, you would hope to not believe that, you know, if you were in his shoes. But he had not, this was sort of the end of a long life of having not listened to God, not consulted God. Micaiah had, this wasn't the first time he brought him bad news, right? And he hadn't been listening to it. His whole reaction to it was, I don't want to hear from you. You always bring me bad news. How do you react when somebody gives you bad news? Somebody advises you against what you really want to do. You say, I'm not going to get your advice again. You always tell me not to do what I want to do, right? Do we do that? Certainly tempted to do it, aren't we? And that's why this king did, okay? And so, of course, we can go on and read. They went into battle, verse 35, all day long the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot. I should have started at verse 34. Someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. All day long the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran down to the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. In verse 38, they washed the chariot at the pool of Samaria where the prostitutes bathed, and the dogs licked up his blood as the word of the Lord had declared. Yeah, an earlier prophecy. Okay, so he met his demise that day. But here was a king who had no regard for God, who didn't want to hear advice, you know, wouldn't follow advice that wasn't what he was looking for. He was just looking for a good, you know, somebody who's going to tell him what he wants to hear. And this is how he ended up. All right, so 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 51. So now we're going to go on to Ahab's son. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree. That's what we're going to find out. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. He reigned over Israel 2 years. Not a real long reign for a king, right? 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Didn't take him long to do evil, right? He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he walked in the ways of his father and his mother and the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He served and worshipped Baal and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger, just as his father had done. 2 Kings verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. What a embarrassing way to injure yourself. So he sent messengers saying, go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury. So he's consulting idols to find out, am I going to recover from this injury? But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask him, is it because there is no god in Israel that you're going to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says, you will not leave the bed you're lying on. You will certainly die. So Elijah went. When the messengers returned to the king, he said, why have you come back? A man came to meet us, they replied, and he said to us, go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says. And he repeats it. Verse 7, the king asked him, what kind of man was it who came out to meet you and told you this? They replied, he was a man with a garment of hair with a leather belt around his waist. The king said, that was Elijah the Tishbite. Then he sent to Elijah a captain with a company of 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on top of a hill, and said to him, man of God, the king says, come down. Elijah answered the captain, if I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Then fire from heaven came and consumed the captain and his men. At this, the king sent Elijah another captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, man of God, this is what the king says. Come down at once. If I am a man of God, Elijah replied, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. He's a slow learner. This third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. Man of God, he begged, please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men, but now have respect for my life. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.
So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. So he died according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. So, turned out pretty badly for him too, right? Like father, like son. Neither one of them was willing to listen to somebody that was really speaking from God. Sometimes when you're getting good advice, it's going to cause you not to do what you want to do. Think about it. If good advice always caused you to do what you wanted to do anyway, what would be the point in getting advice, right? Just do what you want to do. But that doesn't work too well. If you always go out and find somebody who's going to tell you to do what you want to do, you're still going to end up doing what you want to do. It's going to be the same as if you got no advice, isn't it? You got to be willing to go get some advice from somebody who at least might has the potential to point out that that's not a good idea. You ought not to do that. Okay. Particularly, you know, somebody who will bring the scriptures to you and say, the scriptures say don't do that. You know, sometimes that's the case. All right. We have another example here, which I'm just going to refer to in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We have now this time we have the King David, and he's taking a census. What happens is you know, Joab, the commander of the troops, tells him, says, why do you want to take a census of your people? You know, basically he's taking a census of fighting men. It's, you know, which is sort of a subtle, I don't have time to go into all the ramifications of it, but it was a sin and David knew it. After he did it, he felt bad about it. But he did it at the time, even though Joab had told him, I can't, you know, why are you going to do this? This is wrong. Okay. And then, you know, verse 8, he says, I've sinned greatly by doing this. But then God sends Gad, the seer, to David with a warning. And basically tells him, you're going to have to take one of these three punishments. And ends up, in the end of it, in verse 14, God sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead because David had taken the census. Okay? And he had not taken the advice of Joab, who had warned him against it. So even a man of God like David can sometimes not listen to the good advice he's getting. It's very easy to just go ahead and do what you think, you know, do what you want to do. You know, you're the king, you're in control, you're the master of your domain, you know. Some of y'all haven't been around long enough to know those terms from an old TV show. You've got to realize that even if you are master of your domain, even if you are king of Judah, or king of Israel, you need to realize that sometimes you're going to want to do something that's wrong, and you need to listen when somebody warns you about it. God will put somebody in your path, you know, if you'll listen to him, that'll tell you not to do it. Okay, so in conclusion, you know, we need to be seeking advice, particularly on big things, but also just in sort of how things are going in general. Sometimes we don't know which things are the big things. We need to seek that advice from godly people, from wise people, people who have demonstrated that. We need to be looking at the fruit. We need to consult the Lord. And if we don't do those things, the time's going to come when we're going to pay steep price for that, as we've seen in these examples tonight. So again, you think about the areas you need advice, you need guidance, you know, whether it has to do with your relationship with God, the scriptures, your personal righteousness, whether it has to do with a major life decision or just general responsibilities you have, finances, dating and marriage, roommate issues, parenting, whatever your situation is. There's a ton of them. You can probably fill in some other ones on the list. Think, you know, look at what's going on in your life and think about where would I be doing better if I had some good advice? I'm sure you can make a list of those things. There's bound to be something. Pick out a few of those things and go find somebody who can help you with them. You know, this church, we've got people here that can help you. We've got people here who have been through those things before. And, you know, there's no sense in trying to do it by yourself. You know, eventually you're gonna mess up. So again, Proverbs 11:14 again says, for the lack of guidance, the nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. And 28:26, Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. Let's walk in wisdom. Let's seek advice. And that's it. Thanks.